Welcome everyone that's here tonight and those that are listening live over our website and also those that have popped one of these in a recording and they're listening. It's not by accident that you're hearing us tonight, and so keep your heart open. I believe God wants to begin to reveal the mysteries and the ancient secrets to us so that we can basically overcome the life that we're so ensnared in and trapped, and God wants to basically set us free. And if you look at the situation about creation, you know, we were all born supposedly in sin, or we're lost and confused, and you know, we're trying to find our way. And you know, we, through Christianity, Jesus was sent to give us the message of the way, and we were actually going to call this ministry The Way. Pastor Tim and I, we were talking about that earlier. You know, we were going to call the ministry The Way.
Right.
So I'm here with Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim, and we're going to continue to build on really the whole purpose of why we're here and why we're alive. We're not here to try to fight through a paper bag, try to find a life in the sense of trying to discover it yourself or create your own life. How many of us have tried to create your own life just by reasoning? Oh, well, I kind of like this, so I think I'm going to try to do this. You know, or you end up surrendering to anything that makes a buck. If you're like me, I'm like, I'm Mr. Anything for a buck. I'll do this for a buck, and I'll do that for a buck. And my identity turned into anything for a buck. And because that's really what you need anymore to live, right? You need a buck.
Yeah.
But, you know, God's intentions is really for us to count everything we know and to lay our life down so that we can find a life, deny our life so that we can find a life. He gives us a life. He's given us a life since the day we were born. He planted his will into us, and his will is actually, through Christianity, the terminology would be the Spirit or the Son or Christ. And you know, I was talking to Pastor Sam earlier about this type of flow that we're coming into, where the church needs to begin to grow up. Those that are out there that haven't been involved in ministry or in the church, I'm going to say congratulations, because you haven't really been
duped
or tarnished, because there is a traditions of old doctrine that really has to be torn down and then rebuilt. And you know, Jesus came 2,000 years ago and did the same thing. He says, I'm not here to destroy the law, but I'm here to fulfill the law. Basically what he was saying is, you know, there's some doctrine here that has to be rewritten, so to say, and to fulfill it. And you know, one of the things is that we as a whole, as a people, need to come to an understanding that we don't have a life. If, you know, one of the things that I mentioned to Pastor Sam was, you know, I can really only talk to those that are sick. I don't want to talk to the well. And what I mean by the well is those that have it all together and think that they know what's happening and they're okay. They don't need any guidance. They don't need any instructions. You know, they're on their path of their righteousness and they got it going on. I really want to talk to the ones who are honest with themselves and say, you know what, there's something better. There's something better. You know, you could be well off financially, but inside, you're, and you might even be in a career, well established, but inside, you know, there's something better. There's something more. There's something better.
Something missing.
Something missing. And they're the ones that I really want to talk to, because the reason why is because you're actually becoming honest with yourself. So you're allowing truth to begin to enter in and open up your heart.
Yeah, you're realizing you're not truly happy.
Yeah, and you're becoming truthful.
Yep.
See, the ones that are operating in deception or lie, they are very hard to even speak to because they're in deception and they're in denial and they're in lie. And when you're in deception, denial, and lie, you're still under a covering of a curse. And I'm building something because we're going to go into an area which I think is very valuable for us to understand, being what it is to be under a curse. And when you start to realize that something's missing and you're beginning to realize that there's more and you just don't have everything that you think you can achieve, what's happening is you're coming out of that deception and you're coming out of that curse. You're being pulled out from underneath the curse. And truth is beginning to knock on your door. So it's like God knocking at your door. Our Creator is knocking at your door. Only God can get you to this place. And they're the ones that I really want to talk to. I don't want to talk to the ones that are subject to the curse. Because once you're subject to the curse, it's like you have a fortress around you. And it's impossible to try to get into that kingdom.
Because you never stop believing the lies that created that fortress.
Yeah, the fortress has a steel door in front of your heart. And your heart's not opened for change. It's like you're duped to cursed. But the ones that are beginning to feel as though that there's something more, there's something there, that's the beginning of being hungry and thirsting. You're beginning to have truth open up your heart. And that's the ones that I want to talk to. Because if your heart's open just a little bit, I want to get right in there. I want to somehow just put a sliver more of truth in so that door opens up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more.
Yeah, you start to not keep believing the lies that created who you are. You know, you're taught as a young child to create goals, and if you're successful in life, you'll be happy. If you make a lot of money, you'll be happy. If you get married, you'll be happy. If you have kids, you'll be happy. You're told all these things, and you've followed suit on everything you've been told. You created a life of things that you were told would make you happy, and you got there. You accomplished everything in your heart that you had inside you that was going to make you happy, and you're there, and you ain't happy. And you're saying to yourself, I kept believing these lies in every aspect, and I did everything I could to create these lies that told me that if I have this, and I have this, and I have this, I'll be happy. And when you get it, you're not happy. And so you're saying to yourself, I'm done believing the lies. I've had enough of it. There's got to be something out there other than these lies that created this, and I have to find it because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And what Pastor Sam just described was what it's like to be under the curse. You know, we have generations and forefathers, parents, guardians, whatever, that have been under the curse too. And they only know of really one thing, pursuing a so-called dream where anything is achievable. America is a great country, and we have put ourselves in a land of opportunity where anything is achievable. But at the same time, you could be duped. There's a lot of times where we achieved a lot of things in our lives, and they failed. How many here alone, and I'm one of them, who started something in a level of hope, and you had expectations, and the reality of it was it just wasn't happening. And you had to close the doors, you had to shut it down, you had to move on to something else. You know, the areas that I didn't really try in, I succeeded greatly. The areas that I really wanted to try in, it seems like I failed the most. But, you know, God has a life for us, and we don't really understand it. We don't know it. It's far beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. And it's in a hidden life. This life is hidden. But the reality is, it's right there in front of us. And the only way that we can come to this life is if we lose the life that we're in right now. And this is probably the most difficult thing for most people to understand and to do.
And accept.
How do you lose your life to be able to find this life? The life that we live in now is cursed. It's been cursed since the time we were born. It's just the way it is. It's like you're born in sin and, you know, there's nothing you can do. You can't change it. How many people understand what I'm saying? You can't break the curse other than laying your life down.
Well, you know, you make a good point. A lot of people, well, mostly everybody, tries to create.
Yeah.
We're all creators.
Yep. That's why he says, aren't we all gods?
Aren't we all gods?
Yep.
And that's the God's honest truth. I mean, every single person out there, through their reasoning, through other people's viewpoints, you know, they're always trying to meddle with life and try to find a life when it's already given to them.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to find rest and find that peace. And then they'll discover that there is a life already created and they'll start walking in it. But when they're trying to reason and they're trying to create and everything, it just takes them on this journey that is going to bring disappointment. It's going to bring dissatisfaction and they're going to get frustrated and it's going to keep taking them further and further away from God.
Mm-hmm. You know, the world says if you want to find, you know, success, you pursue those things that you love to do. How many people have heard that one?
Passions,
where you follow your passion. You love this and you just pursue that passion and you'll eventually get your breakthrough. Right. You see it on these famous channels like America's Talent and Super Dance, you know, where they were like pursuing their dream and they lived in gutters and they back of cars and, you know, and the subways and, you know, and they forsook all these things and they kept pursuing and pursuing and pursuing and then all of a sudden, bam, they got their breakthrough. Well, what happened to the 25,000 that you didn't see?
Didn't get in.
That never got in, that they're still living on the sewer or still living in the back of their car.
And the problem is that they had the same dreams and that was their whole entire life. And when that is halted or not given to them, they stop living. Mm-hmm. They're like, this was my whole dream. This was my whole plan for life. I knew I was going to be this. But all of a sudden, it gets stifled and it gets stopped. And what do you do then?
Well, that's where they become hopeless.
Exactly right.
And, you know, the church in itself, or religion, is supposed to pull you out of the pit and get you into hope. And then they fill you up with all this fluff, and you're still within, you might have a year or two of ecstasy, but then you're still back into that place of hopelessness because the curse has never been broken.
Yep.
The curse has to be broken in order for us to have a life. And how do you break the curse? How's this curse broken? And for one, you have to kill that life. You have to deny that life. You have to lay it down. Well, how do you lay the life down? Paul says you count everything that you know as dung, and you should lean towards knowing him the more. Well, who's him? Well, we talk about our Creator, God. And, you know, I want to tell our listeners, you know, hey, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and all that other stuff. But you know, we go back from the previous messages that we spoke about, and God doesn't exist until you create him. And, you know, we know God because we have created him in our heart, and he has been tried and tested to where he has done great things in our lives. And because he has done great things in our lives, he's developed a relationship to where now we are pretty well built to be able to lay our lives down. So it's easier for us to lay our lives down than others who have no idea who God is or how even to create him. So what I want to tell our listeners is, if you have this place in your heart that there's something more, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're chosen. You're God's knocking at your door, and your number came up, and he's looking at you. So if God's looking at you, that's something right there in itself. Let's start creating him. Let's start creating God now. And the way I want you to start creating him so that we can break this curse. See, it's all about breaking the curse. How many people understand this right now, where I'm going? If you didn't have a curse over your life, then you wouldn't be listening to me right now. It's bottom line. But you have one. It's just the way it is. You know that there's something more. Right there in itself, God is saying, it's time to break the curse. If the curse was still within your life and you were manifesting in it, there would be no reason to break it. You would live in it. You would live in it until an appointed time. Because I believe that everybody reaches this appointed time in their life. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. He said that he's given everybody a chance.
Yep.
Everybody's had a chance.
Yep. It might not be now. This might not be your season. If you're listening to this message and you're with a friend and this friend said, hey, you got to listen to this message. It's about breaking the curse. It's really stirring me up. And you're with your friend and you're like, I'm not ready for this. It's like, are you ready for God yet? No, I'm not ready for God yet. But there's going to be a point that you're going to reach in your life that you're going to say to yourself, there's something more. Listen, it wasn't like that in my life 30 years ago. I'll tell you right now, I was fine. There was nothing wrong with me, Daddy. But then all of a sudden, there was a knock on my door. And that knock on my door got me to the point to say, I'm sick. Something is seriously wrong in me, and I need help. I'm missing something.
Yeah, why do I keep doing what I don't want to do? Why do I keep saying what I don't want to say? Why am I living a life that I don't like?
That's
what
right.
What the heck?
I didn't like it. And I'm using myself as an example so that others could learn from it, because they could say to themselves, you know what? I was just like that guy. I had the same feelings like that guy. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't living in a gutter. I had a boat. I had motorcycles.
You had a business.
I had a house. I had a business. I didn't even look in my checkbook. I wrote the check. I didn't even look in it. Did we even balance that thing? So I'm looking at my wife and I said, did we even look at the balance? We never even looked at the balance of the checkbook. That's where we were. But all of a sudden, there was a knock. There was a knock on my heart. And there was people that knew me that looked at me and said, what the heck? What do you want? What are you kidding me? You're sick? You got everything going? What are you talking about? So they couldn't understand the spiritual condition of what I was going through. And I heard that knock, and then the rest was history. And then here we are today. But before, you couldn't tell me that there was anything wrong. Everything was going fine. I was good. What are you talking to me about? God, and there was nothing I needed. I had it all. And I truly believe that we all reach those periods. You might not be there right now, but there's going to be a time where you're going to have that knock on your heart. I truly believe that. And when that knock is on your heart and you say to yourself, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I need a drink of water, I need some food to eat.
I had enough.
I need something. Then this message right here is the beginning of finding a new life, creating and having a new life. And that life is within. And that life is the one that God has ordained for you. And that's why I don't like to push God on people, like they need God. If their heart's not open, then God really doesn't have their life prepared. If your heart is opened, then God has your life prepared. You see what I'm saying? Before that, I'm just forcing something down your throat that you don't want. But if you're there and your heart's open, you're saying, you know what? There's something new. There's something different. I'm ready for a change. Then God has your life sitting right there for you. And it's ready. And that's the really cool thing about it is it's ready. Now we have to come into it. And the way to come into it is we have to break this curse off. We have to break the curse off in order for us to walk into the life. Because it's almost like, you can't have water and oil mix. It just doesn't mix. So the new life can't mix with the old life. It has, your opportunities will not be available. It's like you're gonna walk in a meeting, and if you're in your old life, everyone in the meeting is gonna hate you. They're not gonna like you, and they're not gonna want to listen to you, and they're not gonna give you any favor. But if you walk in the meeting in your new life, then everybody's gonna listen to you, everybody's gonna like you, and the opportunities are opened. You see, how many of us understand that one? At first. So you have to you gotta get into this identity, and this identity is in this new life, and we call it coming into Christ. In the Christian world we call it the divine nature, the spirit. The old life is the flesh or the soul.
It's a matter of who you're trusting. The old life is trusting the world for your provisions, and the new life is trusting God, starting to trust God, starting to believe that He's really is going to help you.
Well, this is where we're heading. See, we're forming a platform for our listeners to begin to follow. We're painting a picture so that they can begin to start understanding where they're at, and to say to them, you know what? I want this life. Because this life is exceedingly abundant beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. It's everything that you want. It's everything that you dream about. It's everything that's going to make you happy. Now, for example, what's going to make you happy? You think in this life you're happy. In my old life, I thought I was happy. The things that...
Cars, houses, marriage, money.
Exactly right.
All the things that are in the world, living outside of yourself.
Exactly.
Trying to find the goals outside of yourself. You said living within is different. There's a difference between living within and trying to find it outside.
Yep. And the things that I thought I wanted were all outside. Because, and I couldn't get enough.
Because the curse just keeps lying to you, telling you that you're going to find it out there. You're going to find it. You know, the devil took Jesus up on the mountain.
To obtain all.
Correct. The devil took Jesus up on the mountain. It's a parable. And he said to him, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. And he promised the whole world. He gave them everything in the world that I don't worship him. And that's what the world says. It actually tries to lift you up and create, you know, self-edification. And it's a living of yourself outside of the body. And, you know, you try to find those goals out there.
Well, living a life outside of the heart, you know, what's internal, you find self-gratification in things, in possessions, in different substances, like even addictions to drugs and all these different things. But the issue with the curse is it forces you to keep wanting to keep going back to it because you're trying to get that same fix.
Yep.
And you keep trying to get that same fix. It's like...
Or more of the same.
You know, somebody yep. that has a spending money habit where they got to buy luxury clothes and luxury cars and all that, and they just don't have enough because it's not satisfying them.
Well, when you it find, also yeah. creates an identity.
It creates an identity.
See, this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the guy with the boat. I'm the big player.
I'm the big player.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the issue with that is you're never going to have enough or be satisfied. You know, if you look at the rich and famous, you know, they put this facade on like they're happy because you're only seeing an outward view, but you're not seeing transparently through them. And inside, they're not satisfied. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. You know, it's basically, I got to keep acquiring. It's given that temporary fix, and then it goes away, and then you're thirsting again for more and more and more, and you can never find it. You can never satisfy that hunger.
And what develops is a conditional love.
Yeah.
Because when you obtain things, you're saying that you achieved.
Yes.
And... Yep. You look at yourself and you identify with who you are. This is who I am.
Yep. Right.
So now you're no longer so-called lost. You have an identity of who you are, and then you develop the conditional love because I love myself because of what I obtain.
And because I'm loved.
Yep. Yeah.
By people.
Until it's like out of beer, out of here kind of thing.
But the pride of that puffs you up. And therefore,
exactly right, therefore which is called the pride of life.
Yeah, and you can't, and inside you're like, well, I don't need God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready for God. I'm doing it myself. I'm attaining all this, you know, even though they want more, but they're attaining all this, and it's still not satisfying.
Yeah, and you don't have control. You just want to keep eating more and more and more. See, God, he makes you go down this road. He has to have you taste and see what's out there. And the more you taste and see, the more you want, and the more you realize you're not satisfied. Yeah. So that causes you to look somewhere else because you've looked here. See, if you never looked there, you don't know what's out there. But if you keep looking and you're going to keep trying, you're going to keep finding and finding and finding, you're not satisfied. As you could just keep gorging yourself with the yeah. world. More cars, more money, more houses, more women, more drugs. And you just keep gorging and gorging and gorging until you're throwing up. What happens if you eat too much? You throw up.
Well,
and you're
also
sick.
Also, what takes place is you weary out.
You get exhausted.
It burns you out. You get yeah. tired.
Yes. And you start looking for, and you actually start looking for a different way.
Right. And this is what one of Jesus' sayings was. All you who are weary and heavy laden,
I'll give you rest.
And I'll give you rest. See, the soul...
And he was talking about the divine nature.
Coming into the divine nature,
yeah, exactly.
which you will obtain rest.
He was actually talking about just realizing that the world's not going to provide and to come to God.
Well,
are you there? Are you really here?
Let's begin to start getting our listeners to really identify first with the soul rather than coming in and out.
Yeah, right.
I want them to really have a picture painted of the soul.
Yep.
So that they can begin to understand what transpires. The soul in itself, this life that we have to lose, this curse that has to be broken,
feeds.
It's there to steal, kill, and destroy your life. It's to take you to a place of suicide, hopelessness, desperation.
Take you out of eternal life as well.
Bring you into anxiety,
yeah.
bring you into depression. It's actually robbing the life that God intended for you. And then there's an eternal life that Pastor Tim was beginning to say, where it takes you out of the internal life. But I want to focus mostly on this life right now, because
to start with,
because, you know, most people are really, it's about now. Don't tell me about when I die. I don't want to hear about it right now, unless you're 90-some years old. Most, you know, in your face in death, most people want to start knowing about the eternal realm, you know. But right now, if we're talking the 20s, 30s, you know, 40, they don't want to hear about the eternal life right now. They want to hear about life now. And this life now is not going to lead to an eternal life. It's not. It's not going to lead to a successful life. What's going to happen is you're going to come to a place of accepting, and then you're going to accept this is the way it is. And you're going to be dry. You're going to be thirsty. You're going to be kind of in a depressed state. You're going to go with the actions, and you're just going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to be basically in a form of insanity.
A zombie.
And you're going to do the same thing over and over and over, wishing and hoping things would be different. And you do try to make things different by saying, hey, how about September?
Vacation.
You know, we'll go on a vacation.
Yep.
So now you got 6 months ahead of your time to build up an excitement and build up an excitement and build up an excitement and build up an excitement until all of a sudden your vacation time comes, you get out there, you're laying on the beach, and you're like, I'm here, this is vacation.
And it lasts 7 days.
And
you come back and you're like, that's it? It's over?
And you got, I can't believe, tomorrow.
I'm back to work.
Here it is. You're on vacation. You arrived after you're traveling. And it's like,
four days later, I
can't believe I got 4 days left.
So I got back to work.
Oh my God, I got
3 days left.
Oh my God, I got three.
Now you're concerned about.
Oh my God, I got to go back to work tomorrow. Yeah, oh my God.
Oh my God, I wake up tomorrow and go to work.
And then you say to yourself, you know, this is my life. I might as well just accept it and make the best out of it. And you just surrender and you just give up.
And then you sit there and wait to die.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have little highs. You have Christmas time. You have your birthdays. Well, you have your little celebrations.
Wait a minute. The soul creates those little highs.
Correct.
That's why we have all these,
holidays.
You know, holidays.
Holidays.
We're keeping holidays going. Well, for one, the financial market gains a lot from it, but at the same time, it's your little highs.
They pacify you.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait till summer break. Oh, I can't wait till spring break. I can't wait till Christmas. I can't wait because I'm going to do all my decorations. And they create these fantasies and these illusions of a high.
Yep.
Instead of feeling that contentment every single day.
Exactly,
you
know? Right.
Yeah,
you should have Christmas 24/7 in your...
Yeah, because as soon as the vacation's over... It's done.
And
you go from being high to being low again. You go up and down. Nothing can make you as high as a soul, and nothing can make you as low as a soul. And what God wants is middle. He wants us to be satisfied and not have to run, go up and down, up and down, up and down. Oh, my God.
Part of that, too, is the soul is about emotion. Anger, the fear, the worries, the happiness is an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, joy is a spirit.
Right.
So there's a difference because happiness is only temporal. It's like happens instantly, and then 10 minutes later, you can crash.
Put it this way.
Well, that's what everyone is seeking for.
Yes.
That's the cause of the highs.
Yeah. It's all conditional.
Yep.
It's all, and the love of God is unconditional, but the love of the world is conditional.
Yep.
You know, I was telling Pastor Jim, I used to watch my father watch sports on TV, and he would get so happy. When it's team won, he would be like, "Yeah, we're the best.
Get in the car. We're getting ice cream."
Yeah, and then, but then again,
I hope your team wins again.
But then again, when they lost, he was miserable,
get
pissed
the hell
off,
out of the house and go play.
Aggravated.
Yeah. See, so you got friends.
See, the soul out of the same mouth, you have blessings and cursings. You have highs and lows. It's able to create that, and that's how you know you're under a power.
Yep.
If something's able to give you a high and take it away, it's a power in your life, and it has power over you. And right. that's where the soul comes in.
Yeah, because it's dictating to you.
It's a power.
Yeah.
Well, yep. the soul wants to weary you out.
Correct.
It does.
So it's constantly creating these excitements and entertainments.
And crashes.
And then the crashes. And
like a heroin addict when they're off.
You eventually
Dow Jones average.
You eventually get to a point where you say, I had enough.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, this is getting ridiculous. This
being
is getting,
lied to. And
this is getting old. And they're the ones that I really want to focus on. They're the ones, you know, let the others run around and, you know, chase their tail. And it's just not their time yet.
It's the ones that are tired.
Yeah, it's the heavy laden.
Yeah.
It's the tired and heavy laden.
It's the ones who are honest with themselves and really, really, really say, I have had enough.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm going to look somewhere else. Hey, anything else out there? Anything out there can help me because I'm sick and tired. So if anything's out there, show me. That's what they come to.
Well, you know, it's a good point because this is where we're different. This is where God's different than religion.
Mm-hmm.
Religion just pushes itself on you, no matter if you're tired or you don't want it. You know,
it's an obligation.
Everybody I see, I'm going to push this on them. Whereas God says, I'm just looking for the tired.
Yep.
You know, I'm looking for the weary that are struggling with life, and they see it and they don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference between that truth and religion.
Yeah, because
religion is just going to force itself on you and try to manipulate, try to control you, try to convince you that you need this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people get turned off.
Well, they're looking for rest.
Well, this
really
is...
Yeah.
This is the sad part that's happening inside of me. There are doctrines or religions that are leading people to this place, to where they're at in life, and then they bind them, and they put them in religion,
yep.
and they think that they've had eternal life, or they think they have a life in religion, and to be honest with you, their life has not changed one bit.
Not one bit.
Right.
They're still doing the same thing, but they got a little bit of a traditional religion in the mix of it now.
They're still,
well, I'm saying prayers now, yep. or I'm reading the Bible now, or I'm going to these churches, or I'm going to the services, or what have you. You know, and like Pastor Tim said, you know, we're different than the church. We really don't want you to get caught up into the religious patterns of prayers and reading the Bible and all that. We want you to have a relationship with God. We want you to create this relationship with God so that God can begin to open up the doors for your life and be able to come into the life that he has for you and literally come to that prosperity life that he has for you. Now, it may not be, the prosperity may not be so much in the money end of it, but you're going to have a life of contentment.
Joy.
You're going to have a life peace. Of joy. You're going to have a life of peace. You know, that contentment. Knowing that everything's going to be okay.
Right.
You know, right now, nothing's going to be okay. You're worrying about, you know, paying for the trip. Or you're worrying about what's going to happen on the trip.
Fears,
or you're
anxiety.
Worrying about what to buy for the trip. And
How about waking up and going to sleep every single night and saying, you know, I know God loves me. You know? And then the whole day, you just know that God loves you. And that the day's going to work itself out because God loves you.
You know? This is the beginning of having a life. Understanding that God has your best interest. And a lot of people have a hard time with it. A lot of people have a hard time with just trying to create the thought that there is literally a life that is laid out for you. And that there is a spirit, a power from on high that has that life already laid out and ready for you to walk in it. It's so hard for people to believe that.
Yep.
Okay? And that's why you have to come to a place of really being sick and tired of being sick and tired so that you can give an effort to what we're trying to tell you so that you can actually begin to apply it. Now, my prayer is that God does a fast work.
Yeah.
If you're hearing our words and you're sincere about getting a new life, my prayer is when you do begin to take the steps, And the step is, for one, you got to lay it all down. You got to throw all your cares down, and you got to literally start over. You got to lay it down. And then you got to begin to trust. You got to know that there is something out there that has your best interest, and you got to give it to it. Boom. You got to, like, throw it in the air and say, okay. My prayer is that he works quick, because we don't have the patience. The soul is going to start whispering in your head. The curse is going to start saying, it's been a day now, and there's no change. So there is no God.
Right.
It's a lie. Because the soul doesn't want you to lose the life. It's like the soul is a spirit that's living in a house. And you're asking the soul to get kicked out after so many years. And it's like, I'm not leaving this house. You kidding me? I'm going to do everything I could possibly do to stay here because I don't want to be homeless. So it's going to say, okay, it's 2 days now. Where's your God at? Nothing's changing. It's 3 days. You know, come on. If you're not going to do it, nobody's going to do it for you. You know, we got all these thoughts that are going to just infiltrate our minds. And this is the importance of constantly being around or encamped around others who are strong-minded to be able to help you war against the thoughts that are going to tell you that there is no God, or your life isn't going to change, or if you don't do it, nothing's going to get done. You know, most of us can't sit for a couple of hours and do nothing. Oh, we can when we had a really hard, big day. Oh, yeah, I can sit there for an hour. But most can't sit for an hour, or two, or three, or four. Try sitting for a whole day. Try waiting on God and wait a whole week. Forget about it. You're going to say, the guy who is speaking that is nuts. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I believe this is the problem where we are today. No one can give God the time to put things in place for you to experience a life.
Well, a lot of people think they're going to miss it. Oh, it's not going to happen because I'm going to miss this life. I need to go out and do now. You know, we've been so conditioned to work at everything. Work to get food, work to get work, work to get a relationship, work to do this, work to... And we've never taken the time to say, you know what? I need to take a couple steps back and just wait.
You know how you do that? Surrender.
Yeah, surrender.
Surrender to circumstances that are happening that you can't control. There are things that are going to happen that you can't control, and you're going to sit there and dwell on what your mind, let your mind sit there and dwell on them for days and days and days.
Well, your mind's going to beat you up and say it's your fault.
Exactly right.
You caused it. You did this.
The first step is to surrender, and then try to accept it. The only way you can accept it is by saying, "Hey God, I need some help here." You got to start recognizing God, crying out to him and saying, "Hey God, if you're alive, if you're really alive, show me. Let me have peace in this circumstance. You show me how peace works, because I don't know how to get it, because I can't even surrender." You got to surrender to whatever's happening. You got to accept it. And the only way you can accept it is by God, knowing that God has your best interest at heart, knowing that God has your back, knowing that God is going to take you by the hand and walk you right through the circumstance, and never let you can walk through the fire and never get burned. That's what God wants. He wants us to acknowledge him, finally acknowledge him, the real God, not the Christian created God through the churches, the real God.
Right.
You know,
and we know that it's very difficult to do that.
Correct.
I want our listeners to know we have compassion on those that are listening and who want to find this God, because we know how hard
it ain't easy.
We know the warfare. We know the power of the soul. We know the power of the curse. We understand the power, the strength, that this does not want to leave. It doesn't want to be broken.
But now, ready for this? You try them with one battle. You start with the little battle. You let God take you by the hand and walk you through a little battle. You let him take you by the hand. And the more times you let him walk you through, the easier it gets. And the more battles you overcome with God, the more you're going to be able to see the bigger battles become easier. And the bigger battles. And then pretty soon you're just like, hey, God, go ahead and handle it.
You
gotta
resist.
I got no power here. You have taken me through time after time, and you've brought peace to my life. Even though the circumstance didn't change right away, I had peace going through the battle until you won it. And then when you won it, I was able to have victory.
Well, we're running out of time. We got to close. But let's share with our listeners how to defeat a battle real quick. You got to resist.
Correct.
You got to resist the negative thoughts.
Yep. But you have to be aware first.
You have to be aware.
It starts with awareness. Being aware that there is a battle taking place in your mind. Somehow, some way, there's a condition that comes up and you're manifesting maybe anger or fear or worry. You have to be aware to recognize that first, and then you have to resist it.
Well, refer back to, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Revert back to, I want a new life. I'm not happy where I'm at. That honesty right there is your, I want to say, nucleus of what you build on for your awareness. Don't forget where you were.
When
you want a new life. And if you really want a new life, what happens is people say they want a new life and they go right back to their old patterns because they give up. And they don't want to fight this fight. They don't want to fight the fight. And they might even have people coming alongside of them, helping them and guiding them and steering them and telling them which direction to go. And you know what? They can't do it.
Because they try to fight the fight within themselves. They've always fought it themselves. They give up. You have to realize that you cannot fight. You can't win a battle that you can't win. You cannot even fight. You just have to step back and allow God to help you. In your own strength, you can't do anything. And
surrender.
Like Pastor said, you've tried it over and over, and you fought, and you've lost every battle so far.
But it's in your own strength.
Correct.
And it's in that soul.
That's right.
It's in the soul power. And hopefully next week we'll talk about the soul power and things of that nature.
Soul ties.
But we're getting cut off.
And we're not talking about the soul-trained dancers and things like that. We're talking about the soul.
Yeah. And because of time, we have to honor the time. Because our listeners and everything else, we get cut off. But this is a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual battle, and it has to be done in a spiritual way. And through us fighting, the only thing we can do is resist.
Correct.
That's really the only battle we can do. And then we just have to apply it. It's almost like, you know, here's a perfect example. We all have worked out before, right? We've all went to a gym, or we all tried to do a diet, or we all try to, you know, do those things.
Over and over and over and over again.
And, you know, they tend to get impossible, and it's like, I don't feel like doing it. And you just don't, and you go right back to your old patterns. Well, you have to make a determination to say, you know what? I'm going to create a helper. I'm going to create a God, and this God's going to help me. And when you feel like you can't do it or you don't want to do it, then you just simply cry out and say, God, I need strength to do it. And I need help. Give me the strength. I know I got to go and do it. So here we go, and get up and do it.
And watch what happens. Yeah. You'll have strength every single time.
Just to back up what you're saying real quick, in the Bible, the Archangel Michael was confronted with Satan. And he said, I don't rebuke you. God, the Lord, rebukes you. Mm-hmm. So he didn't even rebuke the devil or Satan or the soul, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It wasn't in his strength. He said, God does it. So that's where if we resist, then God will take over and actually will rebuke whatever is going on in your life.
Yep. And I've watched many people who have reached those points in their lives. And when they were guided in this direction, to the point where they surrendered and they cried out, God opened up the door and gave them something better than what they had before.
He's waiting for you.
Yep.
God's waiting for you to surrender and cry out.
And
He's waiting.
And we call them testimonies.
Yep.
Now, one of the problems is when you have provisions, it's very difficult.
Correct.
Yes.
You know, when you have provisions, it's difficult to change.
It is.
It's very difficult to change. You got to be able to have, you got to starve in your provisions. When you don't have, that's when you finally get up and do something about it. You know, and I've seen a lot of people suffer and they stay in the place that they are because they have provision.
Yeah, because the provisions only satisfy the outer, doesn't satisfy the inside.
That's right.
Your inside is still starving and tired and weak and beat up, but your outside's living in a fat car, driving in a beautiful house, but your inside is crying out. It's like an orphan saying, I had no father, I had nothing, I had no connection.
Then the soul lies to them and says, this is the way it is, and you accept the way it is, and you never find that life, and then you start making excuses, and then you start justifying, and you start saying, well, I'm this way because of this, and I'm that way because of that.
I'm just human.
And I'm just human. Yeah, you heard that Sunday message with the T-shirt.
I'm just human. I'm just a human being. We're only human.
But I want to thank all those that are here tonight. We got to shut down. We already got some people walking out on us. So I'm sure the internet's closing off. So God bless. Amen.